Let us pray. Lord, we are thankful that we may be together, and Lord, we can only trust you to speak to us, to really open your words for us, that we may understand, that we may do it, that what you ask of us. Please, Lord, be with us. We need you. Amen. Let us read from Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes, in front and behind. And the first living creature, like a lion, and the second living creature, like an ox, and the third living creature, with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature, like an eagle in flight, and the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes, and all around and within, and day and night, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who is seated on the throne, worshipping him, who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." This is God's word. Our theme today is that God is on the throne and we must worship him. God is on the throne and we must worship him. On the moment, it seems as if the world is spinning out of control. Governments worldwide, they make irrational regulations. They shut down things. They say they save lives, but they kill others by not giving them a job to earn money to eat. So things are confused. Movements, for example, Black Lives Matter. No, Black Lives Matter. That's not the problem. But on the one side, they scream with violence and with many things that Black Lives Matter. But on the other side, the same organization is standing for abortion. Black babies. Black lives. Does it not matter anymore? So we can see the world is upside down. The world is dear macabre. Governments, organizations, I mean, we experience it each day that people are hungry, People are without a job, and people are sick. So it's as if it's out of control. But you know, when we read this chapter, it's as if we want to sigh a relief. We want to say, God is on the throne. It wants to encourage us. It wants to show us what is actually happening behind the scenes. Because we can only see on this side. But God is here opening a little bit to just give us a glimpse of what is really happening. That we can take courage. And that we can say, but alright, while we are here in this chaos, we must try to be the light that God wants us to be in this dark world. And that is what I want to try to do today, is just to give hope and just to show you what's really, who is really in control, as this passage is revealing it to us. Now the background for this passage, you can go and read in Ezekiel chapter 1 and even Daniel chapter 7, and you'll see many correlations that's there where he's getting his images from, that he's giving to us here. But, verse 1, after this, now after this, it is a term also from Ezekiel 1 and Daniel 7. It wants to say a new vision is now there. The vision, the previous one, chapter 1, chapter 2 and 3, that's now finished. Now there's a new one after these things. And then he's saying, a door standing open in heaven. Is that not wonderful? In this chaotic world that we are in, that there's an open door. And not an open door to more chaos, but an open door to heaven. An open door that the Lord Jesus has opened for us by his cross and his resurrection. He opened a way for us. There is now entrance possible for everyone that come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an open door. And that's what we must remember. When we are confronted with all these difficulties, we must always just look up and say, but there's an open door. There's an open door that I can go through. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an open door. That's the first thing that John is sharing with us. Behold, he wants to emphasize it. He said, behold, a door standing open in heaven. And that's the message that we are bringing to others as well. We want to encourage others to say, but there is an open door. Don't lose hope. Don't lose courage. There is an open door. We see that he is saying in the first voice that he heard speaking like a trumpet. Now if you go and read in chapter 1, you'll see that that voice, chapter 1 verse 10, that was the voice of the Lord Jesus. So it's the voice of the Lord Jesus. He heard him say, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. It's as if he wants to say, because remember, John was not on a holiday on Patmos, sunbathing in the sun. I mean, he was there in jail, I can say. He was there because they did not like him, and they put him there. And he heard this voice. He said, let me show you. Don't look at these things around you. Let me come and show you what is the things that must happen. That's what, you know, this COVID can blur our vision. We can, at the end, we can just see here. You know, we just see sanitizing and masks and all distancing and all, that's all we see. But the Lord is saying, no, let me show you. Let me show you. Come up. And he's saying in verse 2, and at once in the spirit, and behold. He say, behold again. That's the second thing. He first said, behold, an open door. Don't forget that. An open door. But the second thing, behold. Behold, a throne. a throne, with one seated on the throne. A throne, with one seated on the throne. Remember, John is now taken by the Spirit on the invitation of the Lord Jesus. He's taken to see this vision. And it's like the prophets in the Old Testament that heard the message from God. And they were supposed to go and give that message again to the people. Like chapter 1 is saying, that it's a prophecy as well. The book of Revelation is also a prophecy. Because he is receiving from God the word to give to others. And that's what also we must do. We must receive the word of God that we can give it to others. But not bypassing ourselves. No. Sometimes we easily take the word and we say, I want to beat that other man in my congregation with this word. So I take the word and I want to just beat that one and that one. But it must first beat us, man. It must first go through us. And that's what John experienced. Man. But the second behold, we say, a throne in heaven. Chapter 4 and 5, 17 times refer to the throne. From 4 to 22, there's only 38 thrones. But in those two chapters, there's 17 times reference to it. So you can see that it is very important that we must take note of the throne. The throne is emphasized. The throne is the symbol of power. It's the symbol of the one that rules. And then, what do we see? One seated on the throne. Can you see why I say we can relax, we can say, there's one in control. There's one in control. He's not running around in heaven and saying, oh, what must I do? What can I do there in South Africa with the COVID? No. He's sitting. He's in full control. He knows exactly what's happening. And you know, if you read chapter 6 to 16, all those vows and all those things, those judgments, they are coming out from the throne. They are coming from the throne. So God is in full control. He is sitting. I can say in human terms, he's relaxed. Because he's in control. For us, you know, it seems everything is out of control. But he's in control. That's what we must remember. Behold an open door. But behold a throne. And one seated on the throne. You know, this whole picture that is given to us here, the throne is in the middle, and around the throne is the living animals, and around them is the 24 elders. So the throne is in the middle. That's the center. That's the most important thing. And you know, we will all be assessed by our attitude towards the throne. What is our attitude towards the one on the throne? That we receive the gift of salvation that he is giving us in Christ Jesus, or are we rejecting him that's sitting on the throne and I'm doing my own things? We will be judged on our attitude towards the throne. God is calm on the throne, in control. You know, he tried to describe, but he cannot, to describe the one on the throne. He says, like the three stones, jasper, carnelian, emerald. Now, all of that together, just want to say, it's the majesty, the glory, the unapproachable light of him that is on the throne. It want to say, he is great. He is almighty. He is in control. You know, think of those stones that reflect the light. Red and everything that you can see. It reflects the light of God. Those stones You can go read them. You also find them in the Old Testament, in Exodus 28. You find them in Ezekiel, and you find them again in chapter 21. When you speak of the new city, you find those stones again. They are there. But it's as if it is just to say he is undescribable. And then he says there is the appearance of a rainbow like an emerald. Now, in the rainbow, is going back to Ezekiel again. Ezekiel 1 verse 28. And even to Noah, after the judgment, there was the rainbow. So God is already saying to us, although he is the Almighty One, he is the Omniscient One, he is the one in control, he is also the Gracious One. And those that are coming to him, his true people, they will receive grace. We see there in the rainbow above the throne. So it portrays the new creation. Just like after Noah's flood, there was a new country, a new world. All the old were destroyed, but it was new. And we find something of that. So it's the open door. It's the one on the throne. Total control. And then he put our attention on those around the throne. And he's showing us 24 elders. Now those 24 elders, they are a picture, I can say, of the church. The 12 tribes, the 12 apostles, it's a picture of the church. And look at it, it is saying they were clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. That is what is promised in the letters in chapter 2 and 3. Those that persevere, they will receive the crown of life. They will receive the white clothes. And they are there, around the throne of God. It's a picture. They have been preserved, and they receive the white clothing and the kingship. And when we see this, we realize that this is not our real home. I hope you don't think this is your real home. Our real place is there with God. It's not here. Sometimes we can get so stuck up in stuff, you know, stuff, as if that is the thing. It's not the thing. We're just passing through. We're just on our way. And you know, that's the purpose of the service. If we have a service here or on Sunday in your church, that's the purpose. The purpose is to celebrate something of what we will have in heaven. When they're there around in the presence of God, and now in the presence of God. And that is what it must remind us of. And it is saying in verse 5 that from the throne came the flashes, the rumblings, the peals of thunder. As I've said, all those things that we will read of further. We also see that there is the sea of glass. Verse 6. As it were a sea of glass, like crystal. Now, the sea of glass as crystal. Crystal clear. So it's not up and down. If you look at the sea, you'll see it's waves and it's churning and it's up and down. Now there's many things that we can say about the sea. Some is saying it shows to the labor of Solomon's temple. Others is saying it's the Red Sea, referring to chapter 15. But I think one of the most prominent explanations is that it is the dwelling place of the devil. It's the dwelling place of the devil, because if you read further in chapters 13 and on, you see that's where the beasts are coming out of the sea. And even Daniel 7 is saying they are coming out of the sea, the beasts. So it is the chaotic powers that's against God. That's the picture of the sea. But here, it is calm. It's crystal clear. God wants to say, He is in control, even of the devil and his demons. He has conquered them. They are conquered. Yes, here on earth they are still doing the things, and they still have some room to move. But here in the picture that we see in heaven, He is saying they are conquered. They have been decisively defeated on the cross. And the mopping up operations will come when Christ comes finally again. And that's why later in chapter 21, we don't read of the sea anymore. John is saying the sea has disappeared. Now it's a river of life that's coming out of the throne. Not the sea anymore. Because then, after Christ returned, the devil will be totally eradicated from this world and this life forever. So the sea is there, it's gone. Shows us the power of Him on the throne. We also see the four living creatures. Now they are a picture of creation. They represent creation there in front of the throne. But it also shows us something of the Creator, of God. Because they got eyes everywhere. God, the Omniscient One, the One that knows everything. And it is encouraging to us that God knows everything. God knows of our happiness and He knows of our difficulties. It's not a secret to Him. And He is in control. So we can share it with Him. We can talk about it with Him. He knows. But He even knows of our sin. And He's inviting us to deal with it. He's inviting us to turn from it. So there's an open door. There's one on the throne. And around the throne, there's this activity. And that's what verse 8 and further is now telling us. That is the point of this chapter. The point of this chapter is, what is He doing to everyone? That God is in control. That the door is open. It brings everyone to worship the One on the throne. That's the result of their knowledge of Him on the throne. They worship Him. Nephilani. They say, if you preach your people to sleep, it's all right. You must just not preach yourself to sleep. So we must not, we ourselves must just not sleep. We must not get so used to the word that we sleep in the pulpit. So if the people are sleeping, it's all right. But we must not sleep. But you see, here we see. What is the result? The result is, these living creatures, it is saying that they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So they bow before God. They represent the creation, and they bow before God. And remember, in Isaiah 6, when heaven were also open to us, they were saying these same words. So they are saying these same words now in heaven. And if we say we want to go to heaven, that's the song we'll sing. We'll sing, "Holy, holy, to Him, God Almighty, who was and is to come." We will sing that song. Now just tell me, what do we want to go and do in heaven to sing this song if we don't want to sing it now? Amen. If we don't want to live holy to God now, why do we want to say, "Yes, I want to go to heaven"? If we say we want to go to heaven, we must, through the power of the Spirit, now start to live as God is asking of us, more and more. They bow down before God without stopping. They never cease to say them. But see what is happening. See what is going on. And whenever The living creatures, verse 9, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, then the 24 elders fall down before him, who is seated on the throne, and worship him, who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. When the living creatures fall down and worship God, all these 24, I've said it's a picture of the church, they all fall down and they worship God. They all take their crowns, throw it before him. They say, because you are worthy. You are the one. You are in control. You are the Almighty One. You receive glory and power. And that's what we want to do for us. That's why, if we see the open door, if we see the one on the throne, if we understand something of it, that's what God wants us to do. To also bow down, to also take the crowns from our heads and put it in front of him. Are you still the king of your own life? Are you still deciding what you are doing, what you are watching, and what you allow in your mind, and what you are doing in the dark? Are you still your own king? If we understand this picture, then we must take off the crown and say, Lord, I belong to you. I'm not the king any longer. I'm not in control of my life any longer. I want you to take the control of my life. Look what they are saying. They're saying, for you created all things. And if we bow before God and we say, Lord, I realize you created me. And you created me for a purpose. And Lord, give me the strength through your spirit that I can fulfill my purpose. Not do what I like, but fulfill my purpose that you gave to me. Look what he's saying. And by your will, they existed and were created by the will of God. God created each one of us that we can realize he's the king. He's in control. He opened the door for us in Christ Jesus. He opened the door. And he gave us his spirit. And through his spirit, we can fulfill our calling. We can do what we must. If we are just willing to take off the crown from our own and put it down before him. Say, Lord, you are in control now. How is your life? Are you part of that, of the church, the picture here, that's bowing before him? Or you're still standing, deciding and doing your own things? May God work in each one of us, that we will fall down and worship him. Because to him belong glory and honor forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are encouraging us today. You are encouraging us, Lord, that although everything is chaotic and demakar around us, Lord, you are in control. You are sitting on the throne. Lord, you've opened the door for us. Thank you for that. Lord, help us to remember that. Help us to remember it in difficult times, when things are rough, that we will remember you are on the throne and that the door is open. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that in each one of us we will follow the queue in heaven, where they all fall down, even on this moment, to honor and glorify you as the Holy One, the one who is worthy And Lord, that our whole lives will be a worship to you. A worship that will show the world what you have done in us. So that you may receive glory. Please, Lord, work among us. Even if there are some among us, Lord, that have not even gone through the open door, but are just pretending, that through your Spirit you work and convict, that you'll convict of sin, and righteousness and judgment. Please, Lord. Thank you that you've even conquered the devil in it. And Lord, that therefore we know that he's bound. And Lord, that we must be careful, yes. And that we through your Spirit must live a way that we run away, that we flee from him. But Lord, that we know he has not all power. You have all power. Be with each one of us, Lord, please. We need you. We need you. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.